you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. This is not the message that I had planned to preach today. First Kings chapter 18. I'd like to preach to you this morning about Elijah, the prophet of God. I wish there was an Elijah in our country today. I wish there was a man of God like Elijah that was not afraid of the king or not afraid of anyone, who would just stand up and call our nation to repentance like Elijah did his nation. If I knew that there was an Elijah in our country, if I knew there was a man like Elijah, I'd do my best to try to find him and encourage him and do all that I could just to be a part. You have no idea how much I'd like to be Elisha rather than Elijah. There's nothing, I've never had a desire to be Elijah. I'd love to be Elisha. From the time I got right with God and got in church, I've always wanted to be Elisha. Elisha was the young man that followed Elijah. Elisha was the young man that, when Elijah said to Elisha, "Go home, I'm going to die," he said, I'll go wherever you go. I'll follow you." And when it came time to die, the sons of the prophets mocked Elisha and said, "Don't you know that your leader is going to die today?" And he basically told them to shut up. He said, "I'm going to follow Elijah." It's a lot easier to be Elisha than it is to be Elijah. If I had a choice this morning, I would love to be Elisha. As a preacher of the gospel, as a father of a family, I would love to be able to find a true man of God that would not compromise, that would not turn aside. I would love to be able to walk in the door of his church if he pastored and shake his hand and say to him, "It would be all right if I attended your service this morning. It would be all right if my family, my children went to your Sunday school. It would be all right if my wife and I sat in your service. Would it be all right if we listened to you preach today?" And Elijah would say, "Be glad to have you." I like to be able to sit in his pew and listen to him take the old King James Bible out. I like to be able to sit and watch and pray for him before he comes to preach. I like to be able to open my Bible when he says, "Open your Bibles." I'd like to be able to open my heart and open my mind and humble myself and listen as the man of God spoke. You have no idea. You have no idea how much I'd like to be able to do that. For six years, I sat at First Baptist Church of Hammond, pretty close to where Jonathan sits. And I waited. I watched when Brother House came out. I never remembered the announcements. I didn't pay a lot of attention to the songs. I just sat and wondered, what's he going to preach on this morning? What's he going to preach tonight? I attended College Chapel at Howes Anderson College. And I used to sit anywhere from here to one of these first three pews. I made a point to try to get there. And I would sit there as a college student, and I would watch the door where the speakers would come out. And everyone was talking and being glad to see each other and fellowshipping, and I'd watch. And I'd see under the crack of the door, I'd see their feet. And I'd bow my head and pray. I said, Lord, in just a few minutes, the service is going to start. God, I pray you'd speak to my heart. God, speak to me today. Lord, I can't speak for everyone else in this room. But God, I pray that whatever you put on the heart of the man of God, God, I pray that you'd speak to my heart and use the man of God this morning. No big deal. Probably no one knew what I was doing, but I didn't want them to know. I wasn't trying to be seen. I've never tried to be seen. I got a job at the college working on maintenance. They needed someone to go through in the morning and check the lights out in the buildings. I had a checklist of 2 pages of halls and lights I had to check. I said, can I do it early? I said, you can do it early. So at 5:30 in the morning, I would walk through the buildings. I always made it a point that my last stop was at the chapel. I'd check the lights out. If there's a light out, I'd put it back in. And usually my last stop would be at the pulpit of the chapel. And with no one around, I'd kneel and pray and ask God to bless the chapel speaker for the day, that God might use him to speak to our hearts, and that God might use him to bring revival to the student body. You have no idea how much I wish I could sit in the pews and give my ear and my heart and my loyalty to the man of God. One who would not compromise. One who loved God and prayed. One who believed the old King James Bible. You have no idea. When I left Bible college, God allowed me to go and sit at Clodin Independent Missionary Baptist Church, Brother Claude Spurlock. I made it a point, not for pride or anything, not to be seen. I've never cared about that. If Brother Spurlock needed a volunteer for anything, I volunteered. I just wanted to help. And a lot of times people ask why we started our prayer meeting on Thursday night. And at that time, whenever I had time to do anything other than take care of business, we had prayer meeting on Thursday night so that we could go to church on Wednesday. and listen to the man of God. In the Bible this morning, we read about a man named Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, "Go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beast." So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, "Art thou that, my lord, Elijah?" And he answered him, "I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here." Let me just stop for just a moment. The story, the land is 3 years into a famine. A famine that was, I believe, caused by the prayers of Elijah. The Bible says in the book of Jude that Elijah was a man subject to like passion, that prayed against his own will, prayed against his own passions, that God would not send rain, and it rained not upon the earth for the space of 3 years. I wonder how many folks there are who would pray, "God, we need revival. God, we need revival more than I need anything, more than we need blessings, we need revival. God, would you withhold the rain? God, send a famine." Not many folks pray that way. But Elijah prayed because he was hungry for God to do something. Elijah prayed for God to send revival. Elijah prayed for a famine. He didn't pray, "God bless the evil King Ahab and his evil leadership." He said, "God, send a famine." Well, during that time, Elijah went to the brook Cherub, and God fed him. The ravens fed him, and the brook had water, but the brook dried up. All of that time, Elijah, never one time in all of those 3 years did Elijah know where his meal was going to come from. Not one time did he know where his water was going to come from. I mean, can you imagine waking up in the morning and saying, "Boy, I wonder if those ravens are coming back again." And they kept coming back because God brought them back. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, think about it. If you were dependent your food upon ravens, how would you feel at night when you lay down? "O thou of great faith, I hope God remembers to tell them ravens to bring me my food again." But how did he feel the morning he woke up and the brook was dry? And then God sent him to Zarephath, to an evil, wicked city. And there was that may be the wrong city. That may be the wrong place. But sent him to a city, and there was a lady there. And she had a son, and the son was, and her, their food was all gone also, and they had no meal left. And he knocked on her door, and he said, "God sent me here to tell you to bake me bread." And she said, "We're out of bread. We're out of meals." She said, "I'm going to bake. This is our last meal. I'm baking this meal, and we're going to die. This is our last meal." And he said, "Well, go ahead and bake it for me," because God told him to. And she went And she found out God provided, and God blessed her meal, gave her an endless supply, and God used her to feed the man of God, to feed Elijah. Listen, Elijah, at the same time, there's a prophet named Obadiah. Obadiah feared God, but Obadiah ate at Jezebel's table. We'll find out here in just a moment. His food was prepared for him. He had no worries. He had no concerns. He had some prophets of God that he had hid, and he had enough food to feed them. But Obadiah was not in the same situation Elijah was in. Verse 9, he says to Elijah, Elijah said, "Go tell Ahab that you found me." And Obadiah is afraid that Elijah is trying to get him in trouble and trying to set him up. Let's continue reading. He said, "What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation nor kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee." And when they said, "He is not there," he took an oath of that kingdom, a nation, that they found thee not. What was he saying? He said, Ahab, the king has been looking for you, and there's not a nation or a kingdom, or there's nowhere that he hadn't looked for you. He said, he's looked everywhere for you because he wants to kill you. Verse 11, that'd make you feel good, wouldn't it? "And now thou sayest," I somehow get the idea that Elijah was not in a popularity contest. Do you ever get the idea that maybe Elijah was not, he was probably not the choice of anybody? I mean, he was just nobody's favorite. I mean, Elijah it wasn't that he didn't want to be anybody's friend. It just came to the place where he found himself friendless except for God. "It shall come to pass," verse 12, "as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me, but I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass," verse 17, "when Ahab the king saw Elijah, the man of God, that Ahab the king said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Verse 18, "and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, for thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel on Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, that's 850, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said," underline this or note this, "how long halt ye between..." Does your Bible say several opinions? Does your Bible say many opinions? My Bible says the same as your Bible. "How long halt ye between," count them, "one, two." One, two. Two. Two opinions. Can I tell you that there is no gray area in the Bible? There is black and there is white. There is God's way and there is the devil's way. That's the only way. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somehow we could open up a bucket of gray matter? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just open up a bucket of gray area and we could all breathe easy and we could all take a big deep breath and say, that's what I've been looking for, a bucket of gray area. I don't have to wonder what side I'm on. Until you find that bucket of gray area, you're going to have to find out what side you're on. I mean, listen, the lines today, folks, say this is a terrible time in which we live. I think it's a good time. The lines are clearly drawn. Listen, hey, the devil's crowd, their lines, they're more and more coming out in the open. They're more and more showing what
sodomites are not hiding anymore. And listen, the murderers are not hiding anymore. The reprobates are not hiding anymore. Hey, the pedophiles are soon to come out of the closet. They're next, the pedophiles and the bestiality bunch. They're next to come out of the closet. And more and more and more and more, the evil, wicked crowd of the devil's coming out of the closet and say, yes, we worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. What are you going to do about it? I mean, listen, right now, they're climbing in trees and living in trees, and they're trying to protect the trees, and they have more regard for the trees, and they have more regard for animals, and more regard for bugs, and more regard for reptiles than they do for the God of heaven. The Bible said in Romans chapter 1 that they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. And friend, we're there today. And the gray area, if there ever was any, the world has made it smaller and smaller. And we see clearly the black, dark, evil way of the devil unfolding before our eyes. I read a thing recently talking about schools. They said when your children go to college, they will engage in extracurricular activity. They will drink. They'll drink a lot. They'll drink like fish, it said. Get used to it. They will fornicate. It's just going to happen. They're going to, and I'm talking about liberal universities and non-Christian secular schools. They're going to do all that. They said just talk to them and tell them to be careful about it. I mean, just go ahead and hand them over. I don't know about you, but I can't see a man of God prescribing that kind of medication. I can see the devil's crowd doing it, though. I don't see Elijah going for that, do you? He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You know why some folks are so quiet? Because they've halted between two opinions. You know why folks want to quiet preachers down? Because they halt between two opinions. That's why. Listen, hey, man, you want to live in the world. You want to live ungodly. You want to dabble in the things of the world. And you don't want to go all out for God and all out for the things of God. Where are the people that want to go all out for God? Where are they? The Bible says, then said Elijah to the people, I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Do you think at this point Elijah had any doubt what was going to happen? Not one bit. Not one bit. Do you think he enjoyed being the only one on that one side? Not one bit. You say, how do you know he didn't? Because it got to him eventually, and I'm going to show you that it got to him. The Bible says in verse 25, Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first. What are the next words? For ye are many. Where's the majority of Christianity today? I tell you where the majority of Christianity is today. They're in the feel-good churches. They are. It's a fact. Hey, there's more we can do to reach people. Don't misunderstand. This is no excuse. But the majority of Christians today, they've settled into the feel-good churches. God forbid that they have an Elijah, a man of God, stand up and ask them, how long halt you between listening to opinions. Why? Hey, listen, you won't find that kind of stuff anymore. You won't find folks standing up in churches anymore with the testimony like our brother there stands up with some fire every once in a while and some enthusiasm and some excitement and some zeal. You won't find anymore the shedding of tears. Oh, they get excited about a song. But brother, you won't find anymore folks who get excited about old-fashioned preaching and old-fashioned Bible living and old-fashioned standards. No, sir, Rebob. Listen, God forbid anybody talk about anything that exalts Christianity to a level above the muck and mire of this old world. I weary of a Christianity that must be drugged through the cesspool and drugged through the ditch and drugged through the mud and say, looky here, we're just like you are. That's what modern Christianity is. Muck and mire. Garbage. I said garbage. Stinks. Garbage stinks. Garbage stinks. Garbage stinks. And modern Christianity is nothing more than stinking garbage. Jesus Christ saved me. He saved me out of the darkness. He saved me out of the miry clay. He saved me out of the booze and rock and roll. He saved us out of the wicked lifestyle. He saved us out of the degradation. He saved us out of the animalistic lifestyle. And He sets our feet upon a solid rock. And God wants us to show forth His glory and His praises. I don't like that. Well, you don't like it. I don't like you not liking it. Amen. I like it. The Bible says this in verse 26, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon. Hey, this is where the rubber meets the road right here. That garbage Christianity is what's responsible today for the lack of revival in our country. There's more of them than they are of us. But the problem is, we somehow or another think they have some hope of getting through to God. And they can't get through to God. Hey, God's weary with their living. He's weary with their ways. And revival is not going to come from the majority. Revival must come from the minority, from the old-fashioned Christians, who they may not be as many of them, but the old-time religionists, the old-time Christians have to be more than just better. They've got to get a hold of God. Somebody's got to get a hold of God. Hey, don't talk to me and don't come to me and say, well, I'm old-fashioned, I'm old fogey, I'm this way, my preacher, I'm just like, friend, listen, it's not enough just to be that way. It's not enough just to say what we are. We're the ones that got to pray the fire down. We're the ones that got to seek God. Somebody who glorifies God and pleases God. Don't just sit on your laurels and think about how good you are. Get a hold of God for the sake of this country. Somebody, hey, don't talk about being separated unless you're going to do something with your separation. Separated people are those most likely to get a hold of God and get revival to come down. Listen, the Bible says here that these heathen, for the prophets of Baal, says they took the bullock which was given them and they dressed it and called the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Is that what our Christianity is supposed to be, may I ask? Can I tell you what? As Christians, what we're supposed to have, we're supposed to have answered prayer. I mean, we're supposed to get a hold of God. Somebody's got to get a hold of God, Jonathan. Somebody's got to get a hold of God, Brother Frank there. Somebody's got to get a hold of God, Paul Selby. Somebody in this country's got to get a hold of God. Somebody, some lady who fears God has got to get a hold of God. Some man has got to get a hold of God. Why? Because we need this old wicked nation of ours needs to see the fire fall. They need to see that there is a God in heaven. Brother Allah is dead. He's no God. Buddha is dead. Listen, Joseph Smith is dead and he's not getting up. Those gods aren't the real gods. And those gods aren't going to... Shama and all the rest. And that's all false gods. You can talk about them. You can pray to them. You can sing songs to them. You can count rosary beads, but they're all dead. There's only one God, and that's our God, and we got to get a hold of Him. I mean, we got to get a hold of Him. Listen, hey, fellas, hey, we got to get a hold of God. We've got to get the real God in on this thing. We don't have any hope if we don't. The fire's got to fall. Listen, the Bible says here, it says it came to pass midday, nor any that regarded. Verse 30, the Bible says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord. That's part of our problem. The altar of the Lord's not been repaired. The altar of the Lord's broken down. Where are our altars at? Can I tell you what an altar is? An altar is not a place where you go to feel good about the life you're living. If you go to the altar and come away feeling good about yourself, you haven't been to the altar, friend. Going to the altar is a place where you go and you humble yourself before God and you see where you're lacking and where God is perfect and say, God, help me while I'm here at this altar. God, help me. God, help my life to be what you'd have it to be. And listen, God, use me. And God, I'm not here to justify myself. And God, I'm not here to exalt myself. And God, I'm not here at this altar to make light of anybody or to try to figure out why so-and-so thinks this way. God, I'm here so that, God, you can do business with me and, God, change me. And I'm going to just tell you this. If there's no change in your Christian life, something's wrong. I'm going to say that the Bible says, without chastening, then are you bastards and not sons. The Bible says that. That's not a curse word. The Bible says if you're saved, there's changes. There's chastening. Friend, listen. Hey, if we can live ungodly and live up contrary to the command, there are some commands in this book. Did you know that? This is not a book of goodwill or a book of good wishes. It's a book of commands. And if a Christian can live his life contrary to the commands of this book and there's no chastening, the Bible says he's illegitimate. That means he's lost. That means he's going to hell. Oh, I don't like that. Well, friend, what else are you going to do with it? The Bible says, if you're God's, there's chastening. And God chastens His own. God deals with them. Never be happy till you do right by God. The Bible says He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, and unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. He reminded them, listen, He reminded them what their name was. You remember the day you got saved? You know what your name became? Christian. Christian. What's it mean to be a Christian? Do you know? You remember? Christ-like. When's the last time you opened this Bible up and say, God, help me to find out what Christ was like. God, help me to be like Christ. Study. You'd be amazed at how clear-cut that book is when it comes to defining what Christ was like. The Bible says, and with the stones He built an altar in the name of the Lord. And He made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And He put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Where in the world did He get all that water from? Been 3 years without rain. There wasn't much water around. But He said, take what water you got and dump it. But listen now, you talk about putting your neck on the line. Fill 4 barrels with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice on the wood. And then do it the second time, 8 barrels of water. And they did it the second time. He said, do it the third time, 12 barrels of water. And they did it the third time, and the water ran around the earth, filled it also with water. And it came past him, and the sacrifice, Elijah the prophet of God, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day, not tomorrow, not next year, not years from now. Let it be known this day that thou, the Bible says, let it be known this day that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their and they came near and said, I am thy servant this day, that I have done all these things at the word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, verse 37. That this people may know thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Verse 38. Then the Bible says, then the fire from the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat a drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Verse 42, the Bible says, so Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said unto his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And then he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. He outran the chariot. Verse 1, chapter 19, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. Isn't God good? And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. You know what Elijah was wishing? In verse 19, he was wishing he had an Elijah. He was weary of being Elijah. In chapter 19, Elijah was looking for somebody, and there was nobody. You know what this country needs? This country needs an Elijah. This country needs an Elijah. But I'm going to tell you, being Elijah is a lonely position. Elijah, where are the volunteers? So I'm a lady, that excludes me. Well, any lady who wants to be can be a leader for God in the territory God's given you. There's somebody that follows you. There's somebody that looks to you. You can be a lady of God. Where are the Elijahs among the men of God? Where are the men of God who, like Elijah, will take their stand? You have no idea this morning, Jonathan, how much I wish I could sit down. And amen. And say amen to the man of God. Brother, I never met the preacher that preached too hard.
I know what America's like. I know how wicked my country is. But Anderson, you told me something. I'm checking him out on it. He told me, he said, you'll never preach too hard for me. The harder we preach, long as that old man right there walks by and says, amen, who cares what the rest of you say? He'd been reading that book for 60-some years. I guess he'd know if I was preaching errors. But Frank, I appreciate what you said. Preach as long as you want to preach. Of course, you ain't up here watching people sleep while I'm preaching, though. I mean, you spend any time around me, I try to be an enjoyable person. I try to have fun. I try to laugh. I try to have fun. But there are some matters that are more serious. And the matters of revival are serious. And the condition of our nation is serious. And you know what? I don't want to be a part of a fake church. I can't be. I'll beg God to let me find some man of God somewhere. I can go be a part of His church. For I'll be a part of a fake church. We're either real for God or we're real for the devil. How long halts you between two opinions? If Baal be God, serve him. But if God be God, serve him. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But I can tell you, for right now, it's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. Paul said, one of the greatest verses in the Bible, yet one of the saddest. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know why he said that? Because later on down there he said, Demas hath forsaken me. Cretan, so-and-so to his place, so-and-so here. Paul gave his life, and when it came time to die, there weren't very many standing around. You know how many people stood by the cross of Jesus Christ? Less than that right there. All those who followed him when it was time for him to die, there was less than 5 people that stood at the foot of the cross. You know how many people were there the third day to see him come out of the grave? None. Especially, it's not about me, it's about Elijah. Where are the Elijahs? Where are the Christians who are going to pray down the fire of God? Brother, we need the fire to fall. We need the fire to fall. Our nation, our people are hard against God. We need the fire to fall. Jonathan, I believe you're preaching tonight, aren't you? I'm going to be praying that the fire falls. He's preaching at a church tonight to some teenagers. I pray God would use him. It's serious. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given us. God, thank you for your love for us. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that if there's anyone in this church at all, dear Heavenly Father, that desires to be used of God, that desire moves them this morning to come to the altar, I pray they'd be obedient to your leadership. God, help us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. pray. Father God, come for the presence. Thank God for your love, your blessings upon us. Thank God for the service. Thank God for the preaching, Lord. Lord, help us to be more like Elijah, Lord, I pray. And help us, Lord, to put more faith and trust in you, Lord, than we have. And help us, Lord, not to be ashamed of the gospel. Help us have boldness as we speak and talk to people about Christ and as we're in this world. And thank God for a pastor, Lord, who would stand up and preach what thus saith the Lord. I thank God for that, and I pray, Father God, you'll deal with this as we travel now and go our separate ways. And help us, Lord, to be the light, Lord, I pray, in the world. Help us be the light of Christ. We ask it all in Jesus' name to pray. Amen.